You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, one and all. Good to have you with us. The William Hill Golf Podcast returns for the first time in 2021. For a look at this week's PGA Tour events, the Tournament of Champions kicks things off in Kapalua. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you, as always, to analyse the betting odds here at William Hill and give you a few selections as well. Happy New Year to you, Mr. Tindall. Good to have your company here on the podcast.
Yes, Happy New Year, Dave. What a cracking start to 2021. We've got some golf to distract us, at least.
We have, and I had genuine excitement when I realised that the golfing season was returning in Kapalua, and not even the impending lockdown could dampen that enthusiasm, Dave. I am looking forward to this week.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I suppose golf hasn't been away for that long, but it kind of feels like it has, so... Yeah, I'm more than ready to get going again and trying to solve the weekly puzzle.
And it's a slightly different puzzle to solve than it usually is as well, because it's got a bit of a different feel to it this week with the extended field. It's been extended to 42 with not only the winners from last season's PGA Tour qualifying for the season opener, we've got the guys that made it to the Tour Championship, the denouement of the FedEx Cup playoffs, in attendance this week as well. So a slightly bigger field, but I don't know how much that comes into your thinking this week. I suppose we've got more significantly stronger field in terms of quality. The likes of Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama and Tony Finau, all pretty prominent in the betting, having qualified without having won last season.
Yeah, there's part of you that thinks it's kind of fate will decree that one of these players wins, kind of like Denmark winning Euro 92. Because they didn't qualify, and somehow it means the stars say, oh, look, we've got a non-winner winning. Just by the numbers, obviously someone like Tony Finau might have a better chance than normal because there's less players to beat. But eight of the world's top 10, it's a cracking field, isn't it, really? And can't wait to get stuck into it.
The betting here with William Hill, and at William Hill we are paying six places as well, which is very good in a 42-man field. Dustin Johnson, 6-1, the market leader. Justin Thomas is 7s. John Rahm, 15-2. Xander Schauffele is 10-1. Bryson DeChambeau is in the betting at 11s. Patrick Reed, 16-1. Patrick Cantlay and Hideki Matsuyama, both 18-1. Webb Simpson is 20s. Victor Hovland, Tony Finau, both 22s, 25-1 and bigger the rest. And Kapalua has hosted this championship since 1999. Plays to a par of 73, which is something of a rarity. And even though the course measures just under 7,600 yards, it can be attacked, particularly in calm conditions. The fairways are like runways, really wide fairways here at Kapalua. The forecast is a big factor. It's due to be windy on Thursday and Sunday. Obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday morning, so things can change in the lead up to the first tee off time, but we should have some wind around, and that really affected last season's championship.
Yeah, it did. After the redesign, obviously the score, winning score, came down. We've seen, what did Spieth win with, 30 under, I think, yeah, 1 year. Ernie Elsom is similar a few years before that. So yeah, previous to that it had been very, very easy to score, but if the wind can protect it and if the sort of firmer conditions can add a bit, then I think it's going to be more of a test for some of these guys. I've got a kind of really confident main pick and then one other. How about yourself?
Yeah, I've got a couple of picks, one from the top and one from the middle, basically. I suppose when you talk about Dustin Johnson winning, or we talk about Dustin Johnson winning with 24 under, you mentioned Jordan Spieth when he won with 30 under par back in 2016. They both won by 8 shots, so
yeah,
they managed to separate themselves from the field. So that kind of muddies the water slightly, doesn't it? Do you think it was the wind last year that played the big role, or the course design, or redesign?
Maybe a bit of both, I think. But yeah, the wind, you've got to think that's going to be a factor. And if you've got a player who's a bit ropey in the wind, you'd be a bit scared. You said Thursday and Sunday.
Yeah.
For those conditions, obviously that can change dramatically, can't it? So you might be... I mean, this because we're in Hawaii, it's 10 hours time gap. So you've got plenty of chance to kind of hold your bets until... fairly late on Thursday UK time, if you want to get a real kind of latest on the wind. But I think you've got to presume there will be some. One factor I've looked at this week is, if you look at the winners here, how many of them have won the Masters?
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
For that, you would probably say there's a lot of slopey lies where people have to stand on kind of edges of hills. And I think... my overriding feeling of this, Tom, it's more art than science, because which is why I'm not going to be back in Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, just thinking that. I kind of agree with you. I think it's a course that rewards incredible iron play and short game more than anything else. Those are the factors that stand out to me. I think you can get away with it if you're not the longest off the tee. Obviously, length is always going to be a factor and always going to be an added advantage if you can... bomb it a long way and you don't even have to be straight around here. But I see this as a real second shot golf course, and you are going to miss these, even though they're huge, you are going to miss these greens, and it's about getting up and down and being able to handle windy conditions, as I think is key as well. And those changes that Corin Crenshaw made weren't insignificant. All the greens were redone with Celebration Bermuda, which I think made a significant difference to scoring last year. You saw those greens were firm and a bit more bouncy. Even though they were still slow, it really affected the scoring last year. And they've had a year to bed in, so it might be different this time around. But I think you should maybe look at last year's results and really highlight those in terms of previous course history. Focus on them.
Yeah, the only point I'd make on that is, if you look at the three players who contested the playoff last year, they'd all won this tournament previously.
Yeah.
So I think there's a big element of if you like this course and the visuals and the creativity, you're still going to like it an awful lot. That's why I think if you look down some of the winners, you've got guys who are creative and see the shots. But I mean, Spieth always talks about that, how he can sort of see the ball shaping and going into the hole. And that applies to on the greens as well. So I'm certainly, for my main tip, looking at someone who is a real course horse.
Yeah, me too. I've got two selections. You've got two selections, Dave. Do you want to lead off?
Yeah, I wonder if we've doubled up. Patrick Reed is my first selection by a long way, actually. I think he's great value at 16-1. Won it in 2015 in a playoff. And then he's also finished runner-up twice. He was obviously a distant runner-up to Spieth in 2016, but he still shot 22 under that year. And then last year he lost in the playoff again, could really have won that event. So he loves it here. He's a Masters winner. He's used to this kind of creativity and visuals and all that kind of thing, more... as I said, more art than science. And the other thing I like is the fact that he's kept the motor running a bit through December. A lot of these guys maybe haven't played competitively since the Masters in mid-November. Reed went to the DP World Tour Championship and gave that a real good shot. Finished third that week, second round 64. And look at his stats. The one that stood out for me was around the green. He was first around the green. Over there in Dubai, 8.955 strokes. So everything you want him to be doing well for this week, he was doing well that week. First in strokes gained tee to green, obviously a big element that was around the green. But yeah, still first tee to green, Reed. All that let him down that week was the putter. He was 50th in strokes gained putting, but different greens here, which he should like. I mean, he has been putting well, to be fair. You know, he's got some really nice stats. Previously, he was second. Obviously, they don't do well. I think they do strokes gained putting, but the putting average stats with the more conventional ones, he was second at the Masters, 1.48 putting. Yeah. So his putter is working plenty well enough for him to challenge. And 16-1, I think, is just a cracking each way price, especially with six on offer. Mm. I can't see him being out of that. So he jumped out as someone who, at his best, he's on a level with all these top guys. Loves to play the big events when the big guys are in opposition. It really gets his his competitive juices flowing. Mm. And he's a strong bet for me, Patrick Reed. A strong early. He's my bet of the year so far. Which doesn't sound much, does it? But I could be saying the same in March, possibly.
16-1, Patrick Reed, Dave's selection. I'm going slightly shorter in the market, actually, towards the top of the market. I like Justin Thomas this week at 7-1. I'll just play him win only. I'll be backing him win only. So got to put him up win only here as well. 3 points win. He's a must bet for me this week, Thomas. It's his time of year on a course that he clearly relishes. He's been out in Hawaii since at least last Sunday at Kapalua. And after a slightly, I think, frustrating end to the season for Thomas, I think he thought he was going to win the Masters and played well in Augusta, but didn't quite get it done with DJ throttling that field, really. And I think he's going to be fully focused on the back of that this week. And he looks to stand out to me at the top of the betting. He won this last year in similar conditions to those that the players will encounter this year. And he's defended a PGA Tour title in the past as well. You need to be in control of your game from 125 yards and in around Kapalua. And for my money, there's nobody in the better in the world from that distance than Justin Thomas. As well as the two wins at Kapalua, he's won the Sony Open at Wailea. So loves playing in this part of the world. And if the putter cooperates, he's bound to be in contention for me. It's been well documented that the majority of Thomas's wins have come in no cut events. I don't think you should read too much into that, but it's definitely a positive. And following that fourth place finish in the Masters, finished 12th at Mayakoba, where he started slowly and got better as the week went on, and then of course won the much documented and covered yes. PNC Championship with his dad, Mike. That garnered plenty of attention in the off-season. And I've just got question marks surrounding some of those other players at the top of the betting. I'm not sure Dustin Johnson will be fully at it this week. John Rahm's got the equipment change. Xander Schauffele is coming to this on the back of having suffered with COVID. Bryson, it doesn't quite play into his wheelhouse this course as far as I'm concerned this week. I think you need accurate iron play and good play around the greens, and those are the two areas in which they are his Achilles heels, aren't they, in effect, for Bryson. So I just thought Justin Thomas was absolutely standout at 7-1 this week.
Yeah, I'm sort of glad you've picked him, because I was looking at the front end as well. You get a lot of classy winners here, and it was kind of a bit of a toss-up for me, between Thomas and Dustin Johnson. I'm going to go with Dustin Johnson. I know you've said I've got the same doubts about you. I've no idea what he's been up to since winning the Masters, but I've just got this feeling that he will be, walking so tall after that. I did check back, and because I'm pretty sure it was the case, and it was the last time he won a major. Well, the only other time he won a major, the 2016 US Open, he won on his next start a few weeks later. So I think he can really feed off that confidence. There's also a part of it that I can't get out of my head. He's 6-1 to beat this field. He's only a point bigger to win the Masters again.
Yeah.
So, relatively, that 6-1 here looks better value. Obviously, he'll be absolutely raring to go at the Masters, and we don't really know what's going to go on with him here. But, he loves this. It's not like I'm just backing him on a random course. He loves this course, Dustin Johnson as well. He's a double winner, so he's got an awful lot going for him, which I think outweighs the negative of what's he been up to. I mean, he's that talented. I mean, you look at his last 7 events. He's got 2 wins, 3 seconds, a third and a 6th. I mean, he's playing like a proper world number one, Dustin Johnson. With all those kind of caveats that we don't know whether he's just been larking about, riding about on a speedboat, going woohoo for like 3 months or 2 months, I'm prepared to back him at 6-1. Just a win only, and not a big stake, to be honest, just a kind of, well, that was obvious if it did happen. Thomas, just going through, running through the market leaders again, probably similar thoughts to yourself. Thomas, I do like, Rahm with the clubs. DeChambeau, I'm opposing due to my art versus science approach here.
Yeah.
Schauffele, the COVID element. Then a bit further down, Matsuyama's got excellent course form, hasn't he, in three goes, 18-1. But it's not as good as Reed's, and Reed's only 2 points shorter at 16s. So,
we've got to remember Matsuyama's not won for 3 years, haven't we, as well?
I
think that's a big factor when you pricing this event up.
Well, the more you look at it, the more odd it is. Why is Reed 16s and he's 18? The amount of good wins Reed has had in that time slot, and yeah, Reed's the course winner.
I agree. I think Reed's likely a winner than Matsuyama this week. Mm. My second selection is just a bit further down the betting, and I just think there's a lack of respect in this price. Colin Morikawa is the one that I like at 25-1. He's 7th in the world, he's 16th in the betting this week. I know that's a simplistic way to look at things, but we are talking about a bona fide winner here in Morikawa. I think he should be shorter in the betting than Hovland and Finau, personally. I've no idea why he's rated 16th most likely to win this. He won a major championship on just his second appearance in one back in August. And it's not like he's been completely out of form since then. He was tied for 10th in his latest start at the DP World Tour Championship. And he's got course form at Kapalua as well. 7th on his debut at this course last year. And I think history tells us how difficult it is to contend on your debut at Kapalua. It's a course that you've got to work out. And everyone's aware that he separates himself from his peers with his iron play, which is so crucial at this course. And he's just too big for my money at 25-1. I think he's a decent each way bet.
Yeah, absolutely. With that, hasn't he got relatives in Hawaii as well, which might, you know, make him just that bit more keen to impress?
Yeah.
There just seems
to be no rhyme or reason why he's so far down the betting to me.
No, it's like, it's almost like bizarre, isn't it, that you would have thought as soon as he's won his major so early that would be his price clobbered for ever and a day, and yet here he is, he's sprung back out to 25s on the back of a top 10.
Yeah.
As much as I love Tony Finau, why is Morikawa 3 points bigger? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I'm very surprised at that, to be honest. And I just think this is a really nice setup for Morikawa as well. You've got so many of those short par fours, haven't you, at Kapalua? I know the course is long in terms of its yardage on the scorecard, but it doesn't play that way, does it? You've got a lot of par fours where you're going to be going in with short irons, and that's his MO, really. Attack the pins with the short irons, Morikawa, and I can see him playing really well this week at 25-1. I think he'll be motivated as well, won't he, Morikawa?
Yeah, I've dug out a couple of quotes, actually, from last year when he said, "I've been able to come to Hawaii quite often. I love it. It just feels so relaxing, so much like home." Mm. A lot of his extended family are from Maui, which is where we are. So, yeah, I think he'll be... he'll be given everything this week, and I do like the fact that, as you say, he was 7th on first look.
Yeah. What's your staking plan with those two selections, just before we talk about some of the other leading contenders?
Yeah, staking plan is important to me this week, because rather than just chucking two names, I'm going heavily on Reed and more of a saver on DJ, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that would be 2 points each way on Reed at 16s. And then just a point on DJ.
Yeah, 6-1. I'm going to go 3 points win Justin Thomas at 7s and a point each way Morikawa at 25-1. There were some other names that I like. I like a couple of Aussies, actually. Cameron Smith, I thought he'd go well at 35-1.
I agree. Just a tiny bit short at 35s, I thought. But if I like the Masters correlation, he's played great there twice in the last 3 years. Won next week's event, and again, even though the courses are completely different, there's lots of players who've won both these Hawaii events. You've just got to presume they like Hawaii at the start of the year as a kind of reason why. He's one I like.
Yeah, Jeff Ogilvy, of course, won it twice, and Stuart Appleby won it 3 times in succession, didn't he? And you can see why the Aussies like this place as well, because You've got to be able to work the ball. You've got to be able to flight it under the wind as well. So I can see him going well. And it's interesting, Adam Scott has pitched up here, isn't it?
Yeah.
I found that fascinating. He's 40-1.
He can just suddenly find it after a long break, can't he?
Well, we saw that at the Genesis last year. He came in really fresh, didn't he? And he can just drop in anywhere and win without a prep. It's quite a mixed bag in terms of his results at Kapalua, but he's finished runner-up here in 2007, got a couple of other top tens at Kapalua as well. So he can definitely contend here, and he's 40-1, Cameron Smith 35-1. Those were the two away from the two that I've picked that gave me pause for thought anyway.
Yeah, I thought Sergio was worth a little look at 55s. He won this tournament on his first ever appearance in 2002. Hasn't bothered coming back since 2006 when he was seventh, but he's got a first, a seventh and a tenth in three of his looks. You can see why he would like it. Again, very creative player. He's won the Masters as well, so there's that link there. And he won the Sanderson Farms as recently as October. So
yeah,
still knows how to win. I thought 55-1. If it's a good week for Sergio, he can certainly get in the mix.
I quite liked a massive price, Lanto Griffin as well. I just think he's a really talented player. He was 13th on his debut at Kapalua last year. Finished 7th in the CJ Cup, 11th at the Zozo Championship. Form tailed off a little bit subsequently at Houston and the Masters, but wouldn't read too much into that, and he's 100-1. But it's an event down the years that has been dominated by top quality players, isn't it, really, Dave? And I'm happy that we've looked towards the top end of the market anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes you just want to sort of find someone about 50s. Sometimes it's slightly for the sake of it, to put someone up at to give everyone a bit of each way fun. But in this case, I think there's too many good players who can win at this course. So yeah, I'm happy with the way we've kind of top-ended it a little bit.
I think next week is the week for that, isn't it? You can
you
can start to expand your search a little bit, given
Indeed.
We've got a full field event at the Sony Open in Hawaii. It's so good that Elite Sport's continuing, isn't it, Dave? Because the announcement last night, I mean, there'll be people listening to this in the States that will have no idea what we're talking about, but the lockdown was announced last night, which means shops shut down and it's work from home when you can. But thankfully, Elite Sport continues, and that it's a very selfish way of looking at things, but that makes many people's lives a little bit easier, doesn't it, I suppose? And more enjoyable.
Indeed, yeah, it's all a bit. My two kids are sort of in their rooms just next door, doing school and they're going to be doing that until mid-February. So I think it's the first time I've heard my teenage boys speak a word before midday for about 3 weeks. That was like a human noise.
Would they be taking GCSEs or A levels or anything like that, Dave? Or
not yet. They're not in that. They're not that far down the school, but they're quite enjoying it, to be honest.
Yeah, well,
it's day one, to be fair.
Yeah, it's the novelty at the moment, isn't it? I suppose. I was looking through Twitter last night, and you saw like numerous parents either just completely different ends of the spectrum. Some kids had embraced it and were loving the fact they didn't have to take exams, while others were absolutely devastated by the decision. So I suppose it all depends on your personality, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. All a bit strange. And hopefully Elite Sport continues in as many places as it can. Obviously, America's been badly affected as well.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
Don't forget, 6 places here with William Hill this week on the Tournament of Champions. So make sure you check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app on the golf page. Just recap your picks for this week, Dave.
Yeah, so confident pick of Patrick Reed each way at 16-1, 2 points each way on him, and then just a point win, a bit of a saver on Dustin Johnson at 6-1.
Yeah, I'm going 3 points win Justin Thomas at 7-1, and a point each way on Colin Morikawa at 25-1. I'm going to keep a tally this year as well, Dave.
Good idea,
And have a spreadsheet just available for everyone to mock at the end of the year, so that's going to be good fun. Thank you, Dave, for your company this week.
Cheers, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do make sure you check us out on Twitter at dkellner and at Dave Tindall Golf. And we will be back next week with a look at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Thank you for tuning in. And myself and Dave will speak very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.